Bob was actually feeling pretty sure of himself that particular Saturday morning. Okay. He thought he was doing okay. He'd got up early and he decided that he'd clean the kitchen. And then he decided that he'd actually, after he'd watered his only surviving houseplant that he'd called Gerard for some reason, it was actually known as the unkillable cactus. He thought to himself, I know what I'll do. I'll make some banana bread. I'll be one of those functional adults and I'll make banana bread. He followed the recipe exactly, well, except the walnuts. He missed them out because he's allergic. He didn't have any butter, so we left the butter out. He decided to change the sugar for syrup because it sounded a bit more earthy. But he put it all together, nailed it, he thought, popped it in the oven, and he waited like a proud parent. But while he was baking it, he decided to scroll down the Instagram account that he had. Big mistake. Big mistake. See, texting and Instagram, we are with it, aren't we? First post from his friend, Tanya. Casual brunch today, she said. There it was, avocado toast, and the toast was in the shape of a heart. Sitting next to it on the little bench was her lovely dog with a bow tie on, and she was surrounded by the most gorgeous blooming forest of houseplants. The next post was from some stranger. He said, made sourdough for the first time. Caption read, not perfect, but I made peace with the crust. Not perfect. It looked like one of those, you know, those bread that you bought from those artisan sort of street sort of vendors. It's gorgeous. Right sort of crust and everything. Meanwhile, the timer pinged and Bob's banana bread was done. Flat as a pancake. It looked like it had lost fight with gravity. Sticky in the middle, weirdly crunchy on the outside. He didn't think that was even possible. As he took a bite, it tasted like regret mixed with warm glue. He sat down defeated, wondering, how is it that everybody else's life seems together? You know, toast is perfect, perfect dogs, perfect houseplants. Just, why does my life often seem to be such a mess? As he sat there in bewilderment, Gerard the cactus tipped over and died for no reason. You know, we do that, don't we? So often we compare ourselves to others, to what others look like, to how they address, how they dress themselves, and even maybe to how prosperous they appear to be or how successful, and we look at all that they seem to have achieved, and we don't just want to keep up with the Joneses. We actually want to be better than the Joneses. You know, we do it morally as well. We look at others and we think, do you know what? I'm just glad I'm not as bad as him. I'm just glad that I don't do the same stuff that she does. I'm so pleased that I'm not like Mrs. Such and Such at number 30. Have you heard what she does? Oh, Charlie. The thing is, God sees us all the same. He doesn't compare us against one another. He sees us exactly as we are. And the truth is that none of us measure up to his standard. None of us. When he does look at us, he discovers something that he says in his word. He says, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not even one. No one meets the required standard. Therefore, the sad truth is that heaven is shut off to everybody. One of the things that often amazes me, if I'm talking to folks in the street, as I so often do, and you ask them that question, you know, do you think you'll go to heaven when you die? And most folks will say, yes, I am, because I will go there because I'm a good person. I'm certainly better than air, you know. And let's face it, as long as my good stuff outweighs my bad stuff, at least, you know, on the scales of justice, I'll probably get to heaven. I should be okay. But according to God's standard, we've all messed up. We've all lost it. We've all failed. And none of us are good enough. And he's the judge. Look at what it says in the early part of our reading. We always rightfully major on, you know, that commissioning that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples, preaching, teaching about me and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. But what does it say first of all? It says this. Jesus said to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What does that authority mean? It means that he has the authority to judge. The authority to say who is good and who is worthy. The authority to convict and condemn. Even the authority and the power to acquit. The truth of the fact is his judgments have already been settled. There is none right. All are condemned. In Acts 17, it says this, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Later on in the book of Hebrews, it says this, it is appointed for man to die once, then after that comes judgment. The truth of the fact is that leaves every single one of us in a pretty hopeless state. That's bad news, isn't it? But the amazing thing about God's grace, which is the good news, can I just say, you need to hear the bad news before you hear the good news. But to fully appreciate the good news, know this, that none of us are worthy. But the good news is this, as the judge brings down his gavel declaring us guilty, he takes off his judicial gown and he takes upon himself the sentence that is ours. That's grace. That's amazing grace. That's what Jesus did on the cross when he paid the price for your sin and for my sin. He took the punishment. And in an amazing act, he became sin, and his goodness, his righteousness, was put on us. That's why I keep on calling you four trophies of grace. Because of the righteousness of God, which is now seen in you. Not that they're perfect yet. Not that they're there. But by the goodness of God, his righteousness is in you. He offers us forgiveness. Makes us right so that we may have everlasting life. This is the reality that we celebrate today as Danielle, Debbie, Libby, and James go through the waters of baptism. As we said early on, we were buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life in him. Beloved, that new life is offered to all of us. And we don't have to jump through any hoops in order to get it. You don't have to attend church. You don't even have to come to Toddlers or Who Let the Dads Out. You can simply believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe on his completed work. This is the good news. And this good news is available to all who might believe.